called? Okay. All right. Well, good evening, everyone, and
Good
welcome
evening.
to our week three this week. So I'm just going to, because I really feel it necessary today. Normally we end off in prayer, but I just want to start the session in prayer to tonight, and then we can all just share what we experienced this week from the worksheets and everything else like that. I'm just okay, and so let me just open in prayer, and then what I'm going to do is I'll pause the recording while we share, and then I'll put it back on when I actually go into the session. So, Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy that abounds to us so bountifully, so wonderfully, so graciously. And Father, as we go forth into tonight, I thank you, Lord, that through this week, you've prepared our hearts for what you want me to share, Holy Spirit, to enable us to grow into who you've truly called us to be, and to do what you've truly called us to do. And so we want to give you the honor and the glory. And we thank you for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so thank you, everybody, for sharing. And it was really great and encouraging to see that we've taken the time to understand ourselves, because this is what the Table of Transformation is all about. It's discovering who I am in Christ and what He's laid on our hearts to do, to be, and how we're supposed to operate. And we're all uniquely different. And so, therefore, each of our covenants, each of our forgiveness areas, are unique to us. It might be similar to somebody else's, but it is definitely unique to us. Everything that we do should be done as our Father does it, because we are made in His image, which is done, everything that is done in unconditional love, which enables and empowers us to walk in forgiveness. Okay, so everything God did, every relationship, let's just reiterate this first. Every relationship has a covenant, whether that is unwritten, unspoken, written, or spoken. There is always a covenant. And a covenant is, can be, I expect this of you. You expect this of me. We'll take an easy one. I expect you not to lie to me. I expect you to honor my choices. Those are covenants. Those are things that we are saying, whether it's spoken or unspoken, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in a friendship, whether it's in an acquaintance. There's different levels of covenant. But God ultimately made the full sacrificial covenant. So if we look quickly, the Lord loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, which is unconditional love, so that we not only receive Him, His unconditional love, but that we receive His forgiveness. And in that, we also then accept His promises and His covenant with us. And when we accept His covenant with us, then covenant is conditional. Doesn't matter how anybody wants to word it, covenant is conditional. So if you take three, two of the three are unconditional. Unconditional love, unconditional forgiveness. But a covenant is a conditional. And as I said last week, remember, it's like, when you say your marriage vows, and it's the one that comes to mind the most, is until death do us part. There's a covenant, there's a time limit, there's a, and the conditions in sickness, in health, until, you know, all those kind of things. And we also make those kind of with friendships, with, I mean, you know, we look at Chris and we look at Wendy and you, Bill. We've been friends for many years. And in those friendships, we expect certain things. N not that we demand it, we don't demand it, but we do expect certain things from each other. We expect each other to be truthful. We expect each other to have each other's backs. We expect each other to be there to support one another. We might not say it, we might not write it down, but ultimately, if we examine our hearts, that's what we expect. And that is a covenant. So expectation is also part of your covenant because it is part of who you are. So what do you expect of other people? What do you expect of God even? Okay, so that leads us into our renewing of the mind. Okay. Now, before we were Christians, whether we were young or whether we were older, it doesn't matter what age we were, the world and our parents still had a influence on our minds and how we think. Now, when we are created in our mother's womb, God has set our brains, our thinking pattern, designed to his way because he's created us in his image. So our brains are actually set according to God's plan and purpose. But when we come out of the womb, the world and our parents begin to influence those trains of thoughts. And sometimes it can be a train of thought that's religious. It might not even be setting free. It might not even be Christ-like or Christ's thoughts. It could be just religious thoughts. It doesn't matter. But basically, the world and your parents and then your friends influence how you think. And that thinking might not truly be who God created you to be. So we have to renew our minds. As I've said before, when we get born again, our spirits are instantly renewed. That is our new man. But the Bible also says that we need to work us at our salvation on a daily basis. And that is our mind, will, and emotions, which overflows into our bodies. Okay? So when you get the inner parts lining up with God, which is renewing your mind is not positive thinking. It's not even changing the way that you think per se. Okay, so you could, for example, let's use a silly example. I did an eating plan, let's say weigh less. Okay, and then I go and I discover Slimming World. So I change the way that I think because that's how I'm going to. But that is that truly a godly thing? Is that the way that God wants me to eat? Okay, so renewing your mind is being able to renew it according to God's plan and purpose. So if we look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, you'll see there that's very much basically what I've already basically said. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So, when our bodies, if we do not look after our bodies and we abuse it, whether by overeating, overdrinking, smoking, whatever it is that we do, is that proper worship? So, do we have to change our mind about how we think about our bodies? Or do we just think of it as, oh, this is something God gave me, and, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And yet we do everything the opposite to what God is asking us to do so that his healing power that is in us will be able to use the way he designed us to truly heal us for good. Okay, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. That doesn't mean we test God. It means that we are able to test if our new thought pattern, if our new way of thinking is actually aligned to God's. Because in that we will have peace, we will have joy, we will have all the
Yeah.
fruits of the Spirit manifesting when we begin to think correctly. Because if you read Romans 12, 9 to 21, I'm just going to just skim through it. You can read it. I'm sure it's in your worksheets to read.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Okay. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Okay.
Comment.
Seriously now. Another Christian comes along, somebody who truly loves the Lord, and they say to you, "Oh, I think this is black." And you say, No, it's white." Okay. Silly example, silly thing. But what does that say? Be devoted to and love one another. I'm not saying that you allow somebody to go with incorrect information. But why be argumentative and say, "Oh, that's a silly person," because that is actually white, it's not black. So what does the devil do? He gets in to bring dishonor to one another. He brings disruption. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Okay, and it goes on. So you can read all those things, and every single step of the way, when you do your worksheets, every single step, every single verse, ask yourself truly, do I do this? One's just jumped out at me. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. How many times does somebody wrong you and you think, oh, I'm going to get you back? You know, somebody cuts in front of you with their car and you jump on your hooter and you hoot at them, or you say, "You silly bugger." You know, is that truly what I know there's worse things than that, but that's just examples. And be careful to do what is right in everyone's eyes. As I've said before, what I believe that means is that when we are all Christians and we are all truly on the same page with Christ, we are aligning ourselves to God, we are doing God's will, we are children of God. That do what's right in the sight of everyone is when everybody is like-minded. And that's what we should be as Christians. It doesn't mean that we all do the same thing. It doesn't mean that we all agree with the same thing. But the foundation of who God is in our lives, the foundation of who He made us, everybody's in agreement with that. So we are allowed to uniquely be who we are. Then you can be able to do it what is right in the sight of everybody. But when you've got somebody who doesn't believe the fullness of the gospel, the person who doesn't believe that God can heal you, the person, no matter what you do, you're never going to do anything right in their sight. Okay. So it's not being a double-minded person and when you with people, oh yes, that's black, or you know what I mean? It's doing what is right because they all love the Lord and all know that we've all got weaknesses, we've all got strengths, and we're all uniquely different. So as you go through those verses, look and see, allow the Holy Spirit to highlight what He really wants to work within you. That's uniquely you. That's what this is all about, is discovering who you are in Christ. Who did Christ create you to be? And most of us will have the same things, but there will be one or two things that might be slightly different. Now, in renewing our minds, we know we've spoken about it quite a bit in Nova Hazon, but for the table of transformation, right? It's setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Right? And that's Colossians 2, 3, verse 2. Because Colossians 3, verse 10 says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Right? When we are born, we are actually born in the image of God. But then through parenting, through the world, through schooling, our image of ourselves becomes distorted by what people think of us and thereby what we think of ourselves. When we think we're not good enough, when we think that we've let God down again, when we think that my gifts and talents aren't what somebody else's is. You know, God never said he was going to give you gifts and talents like somebody else. He said he was going to give you gifts and talents that are unique to you because he created you in his image. God is a multifaceted God. And if you can just imagine how many different facets God is, and each one of us, it doesn't say that we are made in the total image, we are made in his image. That can be one facet in Bill, one facet in Chris, one facet in Wendy. We are uniquely a part of God that nobody else is. Yes, the principles, yes, the foundation is always the same for every single one of us. We don't all, and we're not all preachers. We're not all teachers. Some of us can teach, some of us can preach. We're not all good with our hands, but some of us can create artwork with our hands. Whether that is like Marshall with building boats, or a friend of mine, Kim, who literally paints and creates stuff, or like Robin, who has so many different talents in creating stuff. I couldn't do that. My paintwork is like stick figures, you know? So that's not
Clinical.
that that's not my gifting, that's not my talent. God has given me other gifts and talents, but each one of us has something that God has gifted us. And unless we accept that gift, unless we use it and steward it well, we will be like those servants that got one talent, two talents, five talents. What are we doing with our talents? Are we burying them? Or are we actually using them and stewarding them well? So that's how do we renew our minds in that? Do we look at our gifts and talents saying, oh, I'm sorry, God, I haven't been using this talent. Or Lord, I never understood, so help me to use this talent well. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now, for me, when I was going through this, I had read, you know, God gives you the desires of your heart. And I was sitting before the Lord and I was really praying about this. And he just took me to a place where he said to me, if you desire something that is contrary to my plan and purpose for you, do you think I will fulfill it? If your children desire to be on drugs, if your children desire to be immoral in their sexual activities, are you going to give them those desires? No, you're not. Because you're not going to want to harm them. You're not going to want to cause them health issues. You're not going to want to cause them any problems. You only want to give them the best. So when God talks about the desires of our hearts, that's when him and me get together and I see his plan and purpose. And even if my desire is for something that won't destroy me, he will fulfill that desire in my obedience to fulfilling his desire first. And that's a new way of thinking about the desires of our heart. Very often we desire something and it's actually not for our good. And it might seem innocent on the surface. It might seem good. It might seem, you know, it's like some of us could desire £1 million, but we can't even handle £1,000. So if we can't steward and manage £1,000, how is God going to give us £1 million? Which there is a scripture which actually says if you can't handle your own family, it's talking about elders and that, but the principle is the same. If we can't manage what God has already given us, how are we going to manage even more? If we do not look after what God has given us now, how can we look after even more? The mind. Sorry.
I just wish I'd done this course in my early 20s. It would save me a lot of heartache.
Yeah, me too. Me too. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. And what do we actually want? We actually want life and peace. That's what we want. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. That means sometimes our ears are blocked to what the Holy Spirit's saying. Sometimes we've put the enemies come and put blinkers on us and we can't see clearly. But that's nothing irredeemable for God. And he says he works all things out for the good of those who love him. So even if
Amen.
it looks like we are going through a bad situation, even if it's, you know, what God showed me was that even if I'd ch chosen the wrong choice, he would turn it around for my good. He would work it so that I learned how to renew my mind. I learned what not to do. I learned wisdom in it. If I didn't learn anything from it, then I would probably make the mistake again and again and again. But let's try learn and renew our minds the first time we learn something, not the 10th time or the 20th or the 100th time. Let's try and learn it the first time. In Ephesians 4, 21 to 24, it says, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regards to your former way of life. And that is even, we're talking about renewing the mind. So even in the fact, your former way of life, how did you think about things? Did you think, for example, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? Or did you think that you have to forgive 70 times 7? How do you think? Have you renewed that thinking to God's way of thinking? You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Okay, our spirit man is new. Our spirit man communicates with the Holy Spirit. We need to be led by our spirit man, which enables us to renew our mind through the Holy Spirit's direction and leading. But so many times we don't. We just think the way that we've thought. And sometimes that's truly not us. To be made new in attitude of your mind. Sometimes it's just an attitude. You know, somebody says something to you and you turn around and say, oh well, you might not say it out loud, but your attitude is up yours. Okay? Whereas we've got to love unconditionally. We've got to forgive. We've got to love. And put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Jesus bought that true righteousness and holiness on the cross for us. And by renewing our minds, we put on that righteousness, we put on that holiness. Because then we think, and therefore we can act the way God created us to think and act. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So when we're renewing our minds, let's begin to think, let's our foundation be the truth of what we're thinking, the nobility of Christ in us, what is right in God's eyes, not in my eyes, not in man's eyes, what is right in God's eyes, what is pure in God's eyes, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent and praiseworthy. So when we come to renewing our minds, if we start off with thinking about what is truth, using the word of God, which is life itself, to renew our minds in the way that we think. It doesn't always have to be the way, I don't always have to think the way Marshall thinks. I don't have to think about the way Chris thinks, or Wendy, or Bill. But I do need to think the way Jesus thinks. I do need to think the way the Father thinks. I do need to think the way the Holy Spirit thinks. Because then it's being that's being obedient to who God created me to be. Okay, and then lastly, Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Right, when we were talking about covenant, a lot of you have said that when you gave your lives to the Lord, you trusted him. That was your covenant because you gave him your heart. And you don't give your heart to somebody you don't trust until you don't trust them anymore. So what I would like to just quickly just go over. So renew, it does mean to change. It means to become new or as new. It means to begin or resume. It means to make a renewal. There's a legal definition of renew, and that is voluntary reestablishing of a legal relationship created by a previously agreed to but expired contract. That is, renewal is not merely an extension of a previous contract, but is effectively the creation of a new contract that creates the previous and now renewed contract. Recreates. Okay. Now, if we think about what we did last week, we looked at the covenants. There were 8 in all, 7 in the Old Testament and 1 in the New. We belong to the New. The New incorporates all 7, but adds 2. The freedom and grace that abounds to us. The forgiveness in the Lamb of God. So now it means that we need to renew our minds according to his way, his will, the way his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. That doesn't mean we can never get there. It means that we need to elevate ourselves to the way that he thinks. Think about things above. That's the scripture that we just read. Okay, so when we think about the things above, we are able to renew our minds. And yes, renewing your mind does take work. It's not a 5-minute fix. As I said, it's not positive thinking. It's not changing from eating an apple to eating an orange. It's not a quick fix. It is a creative lifestyle, a repentant creative lifestyle of renewing our minds. Repent for thinking the way that we've thought, which washes away, just like forgiveness washes away that. And then we have to redig. Sometimes we have to flatten and redig the groove in the right place. And sometimes we just have to adjust it a little bit. Whatever God wants is what we should be longing for in renewing our minds. So, and a part of it, it's not on the worksheet, but a part of what I would like you to do is to sit down with a piece of paper, write down how you think about yourself, read it back to yourself, read it to God, and allow God to rectify it. And then allow God to tell you how he sees you and thinks about you. Because that'll begin the process of renewing your mind. Because if we don't know who we are, if we don't have the stability of knowing who we are in Christ, no matter how much we do, we'll always do it in uncertainty and fear. It might not be a prominent fear, but the fear will always be there. Am I doing the right thing? Am I making a mistake? Whereas when we know that we know who we are in Christ, we can make decisions, we can make choices. And even if they are wrong, we know that God is with us. We know that he will support us and that all things will work for our good because we love him and we trust him. I know tonight is quite a whopper of a night, so I think I'm just going to land the plane there and allow you to just be able to focus. Use another sheet if you have to, but just write down everything. Write down everything that you think about yourself right now. And then take another piece of paper on another day. The next day, if you want to, then ask God to show you how he sees you, whether that's through scripture, whether that's through a poem, whether that's through just listening to his voice, whether that's through a song. For me, I learned how to love myself because that's something I could not do by the very fact that God took me. We had a bath at that time, and he made me wash myself. And every single part of myself that I washed, I had to say, Vanessa, I love this arm. Vanessa, I love this back. Vanessa, I love. And until I'd washed my whole body. And some parts I stuttered on, some parts I could not say. And God would not let me go until I had said that I loved every single part of my body. That didn't mean. And I was way overweight. But that didn't mean that I couldn't renew my mind to the way that I was eating, to the way that I was doing things. But the fact is, I had to love who I was right there because God loved me. I had to renew my mind in how I saw myself and the fact that I did not like myself. And God said, if you cannot be filled up with love for yourself, how can you truly love somebody else that might be a drunkard, that might be someone on the street, that might be someone who's hurt you time and time again? How can you honestly love them if you can't love the very creation that I created you to be? I had to renew my mind. It was not easy. It took me months. Some things came easier. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to gently work with you, you will be able to stand up. That doesn't mean that the enemy doesn't come and say to you, oh, look, you've eaten that and you shouldn't have eaten that. So do you still love yourself? You know, he always tries to bring you down, but don't allow him to. That's what renewing your mind's about. Because when you're in the knowledge of knowing who you are, knowing that you can love who you are because God created you, weaknesses and all. Where I am weak, Christ is strong in me. Because on my own, I would be a boastful, prideful person. But because of my weaknesses, Christ can strengthen me and make me who I'm meant to be. And that's a totally different way of thinking about who you are in Christ. It's renewing your mind. Let me just pray for everybody and then we'll stop recording. Father, I just thank you for your goodness and your grace. I pray that as we go forth into this week to do the worksheets, to hear your voice, to allow ourselves to be honest in how we see ourselves, and then allow ourselves to be honest in how you see us. Father God, I thank you for protection around every single one of us that is doing the Table of Transformation for this week. We pray protection that the enemy would not come to steal, kill, and destroy, but that, Lord, we would believe that you have come to give us life and life abundantly. And Lord, we know that life and life abundantly comes when we renew our mind to your way of thinking, to your way of who you've created us to be. And so, Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, and we thank you for the protection, especially over our minds this coming week. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be truly honest with ourselves and therefore truly open and honest with you. And we thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thanks, Vanessa.